Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hello, America, and happy Thursday. A lot going on all across the world. Congress is ramping up activity very quickly, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, who today introduced a resolution to censure Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib for her support of a protest last week from anti-Israel protesters and for her comments about Israel that a lot of people have taken as intolerant and hateful. We're very lucky because we had some time with Marjorie Taylor Greene in the last few hours, and she's going to describe why she was bringing this resolution, what she thinks about the beginning of the Mike Johnson speakership era in Congress, and why she's doing so much oversight when it comes to the Biden family, and also her reaction to the plea deal that occurred late last night with Jamal Bowman. Yes, he's been charged with pulling the fire alarm. He's pled guilty today, but he got a pretty good deal. Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't think it's commensurate, and you're going to hear her say why at the top of the show. And then we're going to spend a good portion of the show with one of the greatest military minds in modern history, General Keith Kellogg, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, to Vice President Mike Pence, one of the most trusted voices in the military and, quite frankly, in the larger security and intelligence establishment. We're going to talk about all that's going on in Israel, the threat to America, Iran's proxy war with America, the possibility of terror attacks on our land, and so much more. That's going to be a really vibrant conversation. I'm really excited about that. There's, you know, a lot of things going on, and I don't think a lot of people understand the dynamics. I sometimes have a hard time understanding it, but we've got good intel, good experts. Today, Israel spent a lot of time with some ground incursions, not the actual invasion, but softening up what looks to be an imminent ground invasion into Gaza, the beginning of a very difficult period of time in Israel. We'll see how that ultimately plays out. But General Kellogg is going to give us the whole skinny. And then we're going to finish up our show with one of my good friends, Kash Patel. He's going to talk a little bit about the revelations we had earlier this week that more than a dozen congressional staffers and members of Congress have had their phone and personal email records taken by the Justice Department and the FBI through a grand jury subpoena spying on the investigators. So FBI, which was under scrutiny by congressional committees, was spying on the congressional committees that were investigating them. That's a bad dynamic. At least a lot of members of Congress think so. There's been bipartisan outrage. Senator Chuck Grassley issued a stinging rebuke in our story. Kash is going to walk us through that because he's one of the staffers. He was the first one to be notified last December. A bunch more got notified last week. And this is becoming a brewing scandal and a brewing clash between the executive branch and the legislative branch. And we were going to bring up to speed that. Plus, we're going to get Cash's reaction to a story we broke yesterday on the TV show. Senator Chuck Grassley, always a man with good investigative things going on, he released a letter to the attorney general revealing that the FBI had more than 40 confidential informants providing information about possible criminality involving the Biden family. But almost none of those leads got followed up on, according to Senator Grassley. That is a really big story that's had profound impact around the country. We broke that story around 5 o'clock yesterday. It has gotten a lot of attention. And more recently, we broke a secondary story, which I think actually marries perfectly together with the theme of what Chuck Grassley started. We late last night from the House Judiciary Committee work, we reviewed a transcript of the former U.S. attorney in Pittsburgh. He was the man chosen by Bill Barr and the deputy attorney general a while back to investigate the original allegations of Biden family corruption in Ukraine. And he had a lot of work. He's the one who vetted the FD 1023 confidential informant who claimed that President Biden and Hunter Biden were involved in a $10 million bribery scheme involving Burisma Holdings in Ukraine, basically money for making criminal cases go away in Ukraine. And he told the committee in great detail that he found corroborating evidence enough to give it the realm of credibility, that he referred it on to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware, but they seemed disinterested. They didn't want to look at it, according to the U.S. Attorney. And he is, I think, going to become one of the more key figures in the next few weeks about just how much the FBI and the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney tried to turn a blind eye. His name is Scott Brady. He was a Trump appointee, a longtime record, good record as a prosecutor. He was in Pittsburgh. He was picked for this job. He didn't ask for it. He got it. And his job was to vet information and find the credible information coming out of Ukraine about the Bidens and refer it to the proper authorities. He says, Scott Brady does, that he referred criminal information to three prosecutors, one in Brooklyn, one in Manhattan, one in Delaware, based on the allegations of where the crimes may have occurred, that the FBI on a regular basis was unhelpful, disinterested, and many times disengaged. He called it a challenging working relationship. Quote, I think there was a reluctance on the part of the FBI really to do any tasking related to our assignment from the Deputy Attorney General Rosen and look into allegations of Ukrainian corruption broadly, and then specifically anything that intersected with Hunter Biden and his role in Burisma. It was very challenging. That's a direct quote from Scott Brady. He said he got the similar Heisman treatment, you know, stiff arm treatment, when he went to the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office. That's where he referred the FD 1023. Now, what did he say about the FD 1023? He said, well, it was something that they had developed enough information on, and they believed that it had some credibility, and he was trying to get their engagement, but they seemed completely disinterested. In fact, they were so disinterested, Brady said that at times he had to go to the Deputy Attorney General and force the Delaware prosecutor to listen to what they had. But what he said is when they looked at the FBI informant's information, including what he had told his FBI handler, where he said he had traveled, they were able to find information that was consistent, and he felt there was a sufficient indicia of credibility, sufficient indication, indicia of credibility to pass this 1023 along to the office that had a predicated grand jury investigation under Biden, i.e. the Delaware investigation. But they were not interested in it, he said. We gave them a briefing, but he was really struck by the fact that the Delaware U.S. attorney was not that interested at all. And he said, listen, he thought the FBI's reluctance and the Delaware U.S. attorney's office reluctance had to do with who Hunter Biden's father was, Joe Biden, the fact that he was running in the 2020 election. And he answered yes when he asked that question. The other big thing that I think was important, U.S. Attorney Brady directly contradicted Democrat Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, the top Democrat in the House Judiciary. Now, Raskin went out and said, oh, Brady shut down this investigation because he found the information to be not credible. And guess what Kevin Brady said? That's not true. That's what he said in the testimony. He just said that what Raskin said wasn't true, that they did, in fact, escalate and did find the information credible enough to warrant further investigation. That is all on the website. The headline you're looking for at justthenews.com is prosecutor says Biden bribery claim was credible enough for further investigation, but FBI resisted. I think also we would say Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office resisted. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to kick the show off with a conversation we had recently with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's leading the effort to censure Rashid Tlaib for her comments about Israel. And we'll have that right after the commercial break. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Welcome back, everybody. Now that we have a shiny new Republican House Speaker elected by the majority, legislating and other daily business that has been put on pause for over 3 weeks can finally begin once again. And unlike others who serve in Congress, our next guest tonight is someone who never stopped fighting for the American people or on behalf of her own constituency back home in Georgia. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene serves on the House Oversight and Homeland Security Committees, where a lot of work and investigations need to be completed. She joins us once again right now. Congresswoman, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Amanda.
I know that there are maybe a handful of Republicans up on Capitol Hill who are tempted to take a victory lap. I know that you are not one of them because you are ready to hit the ground running. What is up for tomorrow's schedule?
Well, we have a lot to do. We've got a lot of catch-up work to do with appropriation bills, but I'd like to remind everyone, we've already passed four appropriation bills. That's 70% of the budget, and it's all sitting over in the Senate, and Chuck Schumer hasn't picked up one of those bills. So the Senate is 0%, while House Republicans are 70%. But they put all the pressure on us, as usual. There's some other big things coming up. I've introduced a censure resolution against Rashida Tlaib for leading what we would call an insurrection into the Cannon House building with radical pro-Hamas groups. And we've been identifying members of those groups. They include the Southern Poverty Law Center, a group called Global Intifada, and a radical anti-Semitic, anti-Israel group called Jewish Voices for Peace. Even though they have a lovely name, they are not lovely people, and they are very much against Israel. So we'll be working on that, and I hope to introduce that in the form of a privilege resolution so that we can get that vote to the floor as soon as possible. And I expect to have every House Republican voting for it, and then hopefully some Democrats as well. But another big thing that we're working on, Chairman Comer and I have sent a letter demanding we want information on the American weapons that Hamas has been using against Israel. And we would like to track the weapons, track their serial numbers, track every single thing about them, whether they came from Afghanistan through the Taliban, whether they came through Ukraine, or where these weapons may have come from. And we're looking for information there.
These are such important oversight issues. Another one that I know you're interested in because it disrupted a congressional proceeding is what Jamal Bowman, the congressman, did a few weeks ago. He pulled that fire alarm today. A misdemeanor summons issued for him. Is that enough accountability for you?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. I'm glad to see that he was charged. He's reached a plea deal, from what I understand, that will be a misdemeanor charge, and he'll be paying a fine and have 3 months of probation. But no, that's not enough, John. He needs to be where he needs to be. He should be in the D.C. gulag along with the other people that walked into the Capitol on January 6th. Why hasn't the FBI raided his house in the middle of the night, scaring his wife and children? And I'd like to know how many years will he rot in jail and have all of his rights denied of him? Because isn't the justice system equal and no one is above the law? Isn't that right, John?
Mm-hmm. That's what we were told. Right. It's not what's been done right. in practice, right?
No. Not at all. Congresswoman, I want to skip back to yours and Chairman Comer's efforts to press the Defense Department because, this is the same Defense Department who failed, their fifth audit in a row less than a year ago. Less than 4 and 5 months ago, they overvalued weapons aid to Ukraine by $3 billion. Even if you are able to induce transparency from them, is there any guarantee it'll be accurate?
Amanda, you just pointed out all the truth about the Defense Department. We can't trust them with anything. They can't even tell us where all the money is because they can't pass their own audit, which is completely pathetic. So how do we trust the Department of Defense with our own American weapons being sent to foreign countries? And now we find out they've been used to kill and murder innocent Israeli citizens. This is why we're starting with this letter, but there needs to be accountability, and we're looking to bring that through the Oversight Committee.
Yeah, you're doing such important work, Congresswoman, on so many different fronts, and yet the ball is moving down the field, and I think that's what Americans want. I want to ask you about a revelation we made at the top of the show. Senator Chuck Grassley today put out a letter to the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, saying, I now know you had more than 40 confidential human sources, 40 informants, producing information about criminality involving Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and James Biden, and none of them could get their information investigated. All of it was shut down, often by the Washington field office. He says that is an extraordinary scope. If this was a mob organization, that would be an enormous number of confidential human sources. Your reaction to what Senator Grassley just made public?
Yeah, that's outrageous. That's almost as many people that were undercover getting the people to commit crimes against Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. No, 40 is an outrageous number, but this is what the deep state is, John and Amanda, and the American people know it. It's all the unelected bureaucrats that use the federal agencies for their own political purposes. And so they cover up the crimes of the Biden family, but yet they weaponize the Department of Justice to go against President Trump, their top political opponent, and then his supporters. And everyone's sick and tired of no one's held accountable and no one goes to jail. And I have been preaching this for weeks now. Kevin McCarthy got ousted as speaker and it was like serving up a head on the platter. And the reason why many Republicans cheered is because someone's head finally rolled. But you want to know something? We need Democrats' heads to roll because they're the ones committing crimes. They're the ones that are completely corrupt. And here's more proof of it today, thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley, bringing out information about these 40 informants. It's outrageous. And we shouldn't be cheering for a Republican getting kicked out of their position. We should be going after the Democrats. And that takes all Republicans working together to do that.
Yeah, Congresswoman, I wanted to close off with something. We all started hearing about Robert Malley and the issues of him within the Biden administration and a number of others that Kash Patel has spoken about who are Palestinian sympathizers. And it seems that this is possibly endemic to the Biden administration because members of the Oversight Committee have brought to light this Nuja Ali, who serves on Immigration and Customs. He's an agent. He's one of the people who says, yeah, you can come in. No, you can't. And if you do, we're going to process you so we know where you go. How big of a problem is this?
Oh, it's a massive problem. Actually, we had a hearing on this in Homeland today. Amanda, I should have had my team send it over to you. It was extremely important. And this is exactly what I was questioning our witnesses about. Is the fact that we have people in the Biden administration that are completely loyal to Iran.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, General Keith Kellogg will be joining us, one of the great security minds in all of America, former national security advisor to both President Trump and Vice President Pence, really has a tremendous sense of what's going on in the Middle East. We're going to learn a lot in the conversation right after this. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. We are in day 19 of the war between Israel and Hamas, of course, triggered by those heinous terrorist attacks by Hamas on October 7th. Meanwhile, the United States has sent some hardware to the region, but seems to be still in a, at least according to its own briefer today, in a planning stage for a series of attacks that it has already endured. I think a lot of people are wondering, why are we so passive with all of these Iran proxy attacks occurring on U.S. troops overseas? Our next guest, well, he's always been at the forefront of great security thinking, one of the brightest military and security thinkers this country has ever produced. He is retired General Keith Kellogg, the former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence and President Trump, and he joins us right now. General, good to have you back on the show.
John, it is good to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
A lot of people are sitting around, and we know the horror in Israel, and I think we're braced for the idea there's going to be a ground incursion in a difficult time in Israel. But they're wondering, well, why are we getting pot-shotted by these Iranian assets in Yemen, the Houthis and the Hezbollah and the Syrian-aligned Iranian militants? It seems as though we're almost kind of taken out of the chain without responding. Am I being a little unfair to our military?
No, John, you know, I'm actually sitting here watching this, and I listened to the Pentagon briefing today, kind of slack-jawed. You know, just about a week or 10 days ago, everybody said, well, there's no direct Iranian involvement, so therefore we can't do anything. Now they all admit that it was Iranian proxies. It's one of those, like, this is not really hard to figure out. I mean, you know, I use the old example of a duck. If it looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it swims like a duck, probably a duck. And you're looking at all these proxy forces and all these attacks going into the Middle East, and there's a significant number. And then, you know, you keep going, well, wait a second. I go back to what President Trump said in the State of the Union. I was there when he said it. It was quite clear. He said, as to terrorists, if you attack an American, your life is forfeit. Got it. Pretty clear language. I mean, that's what he said. We all understood it. And that's what you'd respond to it. And then you've got these forces in the area. And I think what you're looking for with the forces is, I think the reason they're there, John, is a little bit of escalation control. What I mean by that is you put a carrier strike group. There's actually two of them are going to be there. And you look at them and you say, and that's designed to tell the Iranians, the signal is that if Hezbollah gets involved in the north, then we consider Iran to be part of this. And we will take some type of action. And the second part of that on the escalation control is you basically watching what's happening with U.S. bases and U.S. troops. And this is one of those where you tell the Iranians through the protective power, meaning Switzerland, because we don't have diplomatic relations with Iran, and the Swiss do it. You pass to the supreme leader, we're going to take action against forces in the region, and that includes your current commander of the Quds Force, who happens to be in Lebanon right now, is Ismail Ghani, just like we did with Soleimani. But it comes down to one thing. It comes down to presidential will, John. And I don't think this president has got the will, unless he's dragged, you know, screaming into the net there, that he's going to do something. And it compounds the problem, because if you don't do something hard and dramatic, and I understand, John, the risks involved. I've been there. I've seen it. We've discussed it. I've seen hard decisions being made. You have to accept that risk and make a hard decision to make sure you change the dynamic of the situation. And they haven't done it. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see Iran go, well, they're not really serious about it. And so therefore, we're going to support Hezbollah coming from the north against Israel. And we're going to support more of these attacks on U.S. Bases and personnel. And my point to the president would be, okay, let's see if we get an American killed. How are you going to explain that when the remains are brought to Dover, Delaware, and the family's there, you know, on the return of remains, on the dignified transfer ceremony? How are you going to explain it to them that you didn't do anything? And how do you explain to all of our allies that you're not doing anything? So I think you're seeing a real compounding of an issue here that is spread globally. Our allies see it, our adversaries see it, and there's a big question, because I understand resolute action. I understand the need for it. I understand the risk involved with it. But sometimes it comes down to one person in the Constitution, in Article 2, Section 2, the President of the United States is Commander-in-Chief, and he's got to say or do something. And he's letting the, and I'll finish this and turn it back to you on this, is, you know, when you talk about words, he says, he, meaning President Biden, says, well, don't. And you've got Secretary Blinken making comments in the UN, which are very, very good comments. But those are the comments that should be made by the president, not by the Secretary of State. And I'll close with this. 3 years ago, I was in a special that Martha McCallum from Fox News had on the future of war. And the comment was made to me, and the last question was, what keeps you up at night? And my response to her was, this was 5 months after the inauguration of President Biden, what keeps me up at night is the will of this president to take hard action when American interests or personnel are threatened. And that's where we're at today.
You mentioned the famous comment that President Trump made, and I know one Iranian general that knows exactly what he meant, because General Soleimani was taken out specifically because he was threatening American citizens. And, you know, so many people reacted to that, particularly the Democrats, are on by like, oh, my God, we're going to have a war. Iran never struck back because they realized this guy means business. They're striking back now more because they don't see a consequence to it. You and Fred Flights put together, you guys do such great work at the America First Policy Institute in terms of creating real policies and solutions. You put together this great paper a couple of days ago. I read it over the week and I thought it was fantastic. But you have some really great concepts for how U.S. policy should address not only the Israel terror attack, but the escalation of Iran. Could you talk a little bit about some of your top lines? Because that was a really important paper.
Yeah, well, the top lines are basically all comes back down to what I said earlier, John, which is the will of the commander and what you intend to do, and showing strength and resolve to your friends that are out there. That's what we keep seeing. And by the way, you're seeing that on campuses even today, where people are waffling. You see some people even in Congress waffling. And you have to stand very, very strong with your partner, which happens to be Israel. They're the only democratic state in the Middle East right now. And I think we need to stand with them and stand very strong with them and show that will, that we're willing to be there in good times and bad. And I'm going to tell you very candidly, sometimes even with the Trump administration, sometimes Netanyahu would get a little bit of a hair in the back of our neck was up, because he would sometimes go counter to what we were trying to do, primarily with the Abraham Accords. But it was one of those, look, we just have to solve this problem, work this problem. And with Israel, let me just quickly transfer it over to the Abraham's Accords. We realized at the time that how you're going to bring peace to the Middle East is not through kinetic action, meaning force, but it's through economics. And that's the reason we developed, and Ambassador Friedman was so great as our ambassador in Jerusalem, that we have to bring everybody along economically, because economics will break everybody's back, meaning that's how you stop violence. And we tried to do that with the Palestinians. They refused to do it. And I remember sitting there in the Rose Garden. It was actually outside the Rose Garden. We had the signing ceremony for the Abraham Accords. I went up to the lunch afterwards, and I sat right next to Tony Blair, the former prime minister of Britain. And he looked at me and said, you know, you guys got this one right. We had it wrong. And what we meant by that is we just told the Palestinians, you know, if you're not going to play, we don't care. You're not going to be part of the process. And it's not that we necessarily ignored them, but we treated them as basically as adults. You're either with us or you're not with us. You either want to become economically prosperous or not economically prosperous, and we will support you. But until then, you don't get any money. And we cut out all the money to the Palestinians. And, of course, this administration's given them money back. But we basically said, we're not going to do that, especially when they had this program called Pay for Slayers, which, in other words, if you killed somebody, you got actually money for it. That's the reason why Congress put together what's called the Taylor Force Act. Well, he was a West Point graduate, killed in Tel Aviv, and the guy, the martyrs got money for killing him. It was an American citizen. So we're not going to tolerate that. So that was kind of a basis we said we're going to put together this paper. We put it online, said, look at this, tell us, you know, we think we're on the right track for it and supporting the president and the former president, and we think this is where the administration should be going. It won't go there, but at least we give them our best shot at it.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Yesterday, there was a tremendous hearing in Congress that really, I think, educated the public on Iran. And, you know, we're seeing these attacks on U.S. military assets in the region recently. They're clearly Iranian-inspired, but we've had several efforts. There was an effort to kill the Saudi ambassador on U.S. soil here. There was efforts to kill former President George W. Bush, National Security Advisor John Bolton, and others. Iran has actually been far more aggressive than I think most Americans realize from the media coverage, because the media doesn't play these up. Such aggression, and I think yesterday was a moment where Americans got, well, I didn't know about all that, or I forgot about that. It's important for Americans to know that Iran has us in the bullseye too, right? It isn't just Israel.
Well, sure, and they're looking, well, here's what's even worse, is I think they're coming together with Russia and China, and even North Korea's kind of come along too. You're going to have a real axis of evil forming up, and because they wanted, the biggest concern the Iranians had is, I really believe, that they were very concerned about the Saudis normalizing relations with the Israelis, that we tried to do in the Abraham's Accords, and it looks like they were getting ready to actually have this normalization. That would break the back of Iran in the region, and there's a big concern about that. And I think so. That's one of the reasons why you're seeing, I think, the problems today, and why you got the green light from Hamas to do something on Israeli soil. And this is actually, when you look at it, you have to look at it in the collective. What I mean by about the collective is all of them working together, because, you know, you can't look at these in each one of these in isolation.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's right. It is a chessboard, and there's a lot of chess pieces, and they're particularly the ones that are hostile to the United States seem to be working much more in concert with each other than they've been the last few years. As we head out into the next few weeks, there's going to be a ground incursion into Gaza, Israel-led. It's going to be a probably difficult urban warfare. What should the American public and the Israeli public be prepared for when that begins, which could be any moment now?
Yeah, you know, John, I tell everybody, look, you're just going to have to sit back and you're going to be prepared to see some pretty horrific scenes come out of what's happening in Gaza. When you look at Gaza, is not Fallujah. What I mean by that is the density of the population is double. You look at the high-rise structures in there. They're multiple-story buildings. Then you got subterranean structures. Ground warfare in an urban environment is really, really hard. And it's basically, it's door-to-door, it's floor-to-floor. You're basically pistol range. Civilians are going to be involved. There's going to be civilian casualties. And I would remind everybody, before they start rubbing their hands in a negative manner, this was all started because of Hamas crossing the border into Israel, killing civilians horrifically, and then Israel having to respond because they've taken hostages. Oh, by the way, to the American audience, remind everybody, 33 Americans were killed. There's 10 or 12 still hostages that are out there, and it's going to be a tough fight, but they're going to have to do it. This goes back to, and my concern is that there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Israelis to back off. You know, you hear about ceasefire negotiations. Look, the Israelis went in 2014, spent about 5-6 weeks in there, committed a lot of forces and backed out, and nothing was really solved. They have got to go in this time and clean it out with Hamas leadership and command and control. And it's going to be hard to do it. They're going to have to use precision weapons to as best they can, but there's going to be people that get hurt, civilians, which is really unfortunate. It's why the Israelis have tried very hard to reduce the number of civilians, to include putting leaflets out that you need to move south. I would remind everybody that this is the nature of war, and it is brutal and it is ugly. And I remind everybody, in the Civil War, U.S. Grant sent Sherman to the sea, and he burned Atlanta to the ground. And in World War II, we bombed the Allied forces, to include the United States, bombed the German city of Dresden to the ground for symbolic reasons. And so wars are not pretty. And I would tell everybody, Israel didn't start this fight. In fact, they had not. They've been out of Gaza since 2005. They took all the settlements out of there. They put a wall around Gaza. They didn't want to have anything to do with Gaza. And Hamas, the terrorist organization, came out and forced Israel to react. So I'd say everybody, the American military term we have when you're in a parachute unit is relax in the harness. Just watch it and let the Israelis do the job they're going to have to do, which is reduce and eliminate a terrorist organization in Hamas. It's not a benevolent Jeffersonian democratic organization. They are terrorists, and they're going to have to be addressed that way. And it's not going to be pretty. But I think we have to accept that. You're going to see a lot of pressure by a lot of people to, you know, go to a ceasefire. Let's not do it. Nope, that time has passed. This is the worst casualty level, killing level of Jews since the Holocaust. And when you look at the numbers, when they say, well, there's only 1,500 were killed, that is an equivalence to about 20 to 25,000 U.S. killed. This is an existential threat to the Israelis, and we have to support them in what they're doing. And if we don't do it, John, you're just going to see a continuation of events happening which are not good, and it'll spill over more and more. And we in the last administration had the Middle East quiet and how we addressed it to the best degree we could. And that's not happening right now. And my concern is something is going to break really bad if this administration doesn't address it with Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the region itself. And I think the region is looking at the U.S. saying, are they going to do anything or not do anything? And I think right now they don't think this president's got the will to do it. And that's unfortunate to say, but I don't think you'd be seeing those questions you're seeing at the White House press conference, or also in when they had that defense in the Pentagon briefing today as well, when there's a lot of reporters now saying, when are you going to do something?
A little personal moment of privilege, because yesterday I saw a very bright witness testifying before Congress by the name of Dr. Megan Mobbs. I believe she might be connected to you. Is that true?
Yeah, honestly. You know, John, thanks for saying. She's my daughter, and I am so tremendously proud of her.
She did a great job, and it was a great hearing, but she really had a compelling presentation.
Yeah, she's involved in everything. I don't know how she does it, you know, but, you know, she's involved with Ukraine support. She runs a nonprofit. She's president of the Weatherman Foundation, which is a nonprofit. She's with the Independent Women's Forum. She's got two little girls she takes care of. You know, she's done. I just look at her as amazing. But I'm glad you say that, John, because I am so tremendously proud of her and what she's done. She's West Point graduate, combat veteran from Afghanistan. She did it right, and I just like having her around. She's pretty cool.
She darn is, and she did such a good job. And I just wanted to shout her out because it was such an important hearing. I think people learned, if you weren't tuned into last year and you weren't up on all the details of Iran, you really walked away yesterday with understanding how dangerous the world is and the moment we're in. She did a great job contributing to that knowledge. It was really a great moment for the American public, really. It really was.
Well, thank you. Hey, John, if I could say, you know, because you mentioned it, I think it's really good. That paper that Fred and I put together.
Oh, my God, it's excellent.
Published that on 18 October. You can pull that up online. It's really good. I mean, it's a long paper. It's well-researched and well thought out. It's a long one. But I think it's a good one for people to read, because one of the things they talk about in there was...
I will tweet it out because I have it up on screen. I've had it up on screen literally for a week because I've been, you know, trying to do some reporting on this. But the title is Experts Insight: How America Should Respond to Israel's 9/11. Folks, it's a great read. I'm going to send everybody the URL on my Twitter and Truth in a second. But General, it was so well done. It's exactly the sort of strategy you would expect our president to have, but he doesn't have this strategy.
Yeah, well, thanks on this. You know, one of the things I'll tell you, it was interesting, because of all people, my wife asked me, how did they miss this? And the person I get really mad at is Jake Sullivan, who's the National Security Advisor to the President. I said, my experience in the White House, you have got the most exquisite intelligence organization in the world reporting to you, and you didn't pick up anything on this. In fact, you actually wrote something in the magazine Foreign Affairs that everything's been quiet, more quiet than we have seen in the last two decades.
I think he did an edit on it to make it not look as bad as it did.
Yeah, the trouble is the print volume, the print version is still
out there.
It was out there. But I think what happened, honestly, and this is something in warfare, is I think they went low tech on us. And what I mean by that is they realized when we went after Soleimani, we picked that up through signals intelligence and electronic intelligence. And I think they went back to the way, back in the day, when we did couriers, we did everything by written. We didn't go on the phones, didn't let it go out. And I said, we have to understand that people are going to adapt to the way we fight, and you have to think ahead of that and what they're going to do. If you don't ask the what-if questions, you're going to get trapped. We used to do that all the time, John, where we'd sit around and we'd have somebody, the old Napoleon's corporal, in there in the room with us and he'd say, what about this? And yet you'd never discount that and never discard it. We'd always have somebody there doing a cross-check on us.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. And our enemy does adapt. And anyone who doesn't think doesn't understand our enemy. There's no doubt they're adapting. And that was really wise to point that adaption out. I want to finish with one last thought, because there are different levels of complicity, particularly the Democrats have talked about Iran. Obviously, there's the Obama-Biden nuclear deal and giving money and trying to appease them into good behavior when really good behavior should be the standard that they should adhere to before they get rewarded. Then there is, you know, on the other side, the extreme positions of people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar that literally embrace the terrorists and the evil people in the world. And then there's this gray area in the middle. And I want to point out something. It's something we're going to break on the site tomorrow, but it's all from court documents. It's been out there before, but I think it's worth reminding people. Back when Hunter Biden was doing business overseas, he was doing business with a company called China CEFC. And one of its main figures, Patrick Ho, was indicted by the Trump administration, admitted and convicted to having been involved in bribery around the world. But one of the things that the government knew he had done, and they made laid it bare in court, didn't get attention at that time, was that he was, as a CFC official working directly with Hunter Biden, he was trying to help Iran evade the sanctions. And I know that's the president's son, one example, but there's a whole group of people here that make a lot of money in the United States trying to appease Iran or look for workarounds Iran, and they get paid very well for it. The danger of that complicity is pretty high, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And frankly, you know, that's something we should always do a cross check on and a gut check as well, because there are people out there, and it's really unfortunate, that actually work against the government and what's against what you're trying to do. And they do it for money, for financial purposes. And there's a lot of money out there to be spread around to people that are willing to basically, and this is strong, and I don't mean to be as strong, but it's the best way I can describe it, to sell out your government. I don't care if it's Iran or Ukraine as well. And I think you really have to check that. When you're in government, you know, you've got a pretty good cross-check on that. But when you're associated with government, meaning family or friends, you can kind of get away with that. And boy, I'll tell you, it's some people out there, they work against American interests out there. And that, you know, when it comes back to what we do in the American First Policy Institute, it's always about Americans first. Is how are we protecting our citizens first? And once we protect our citizens first, then we're good for the rest of the world. But boy, we don't work against them. And I see that happening. And there's a lot of money out there, especially in the town of Washington, D.C. And it's unfortunate, but John, it happens. And you just have to do a big-time gut check and work your way through it and push back on these kind of people.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's something you've done so eloquently all throughout your career as you've served this country so brilliantly. General, it's always an honor to get on. We're a lot wiser when we spend some time with you. I want to thank you for helping us understand the incredible moment our country finds itself in. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Great honor, sir. Folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, one more good one to go. Kash Patel. We'll be talking about the explosive Hunter Biden revelations that we've broken in the last 24 hours with our good friend Kash right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He helped unravel Russia collusion and so much more. And recently, he sued the government for spying, for it spying on him when he was a congressional investigator. He's our good friend, Kash Patel, and he joins us right now. Kash, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, good evening, y'all. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to get a little reaction. I know you're not surprised at all that the FBI was looking at Joe Biden but wouldn't pull the trigger. But 40 human sources all on Joe Biden and his family, that's got to be a record.
Well, that's a lot of taxpayer dollars implemented towards one target or one target set. You know, any national security prosecutor like myself will tell you that usually you have a couple, maybe a handful, but 40, 40, that's the most I've ever heard of. That's more than in mob cases and RICO cases. So we, I think, need to tie all of this together. You talked about the speaker, Mike Johnson, being appointed. And I think, you know, what I've known Mike for a while. He's a great guy. And I hope he ignites the oversight investigations in Congress that have been severely stalled by the same people who shut down the investigations that were being run by these 40 confidential human sources. I think he needs to empower them with subpoena authority. I think he needs to pull in the government gangsters when they violate those subpoenas. And most importantly, get the documents to the American people, the ones that we and now Senator Grassley and you are calling for. It's just a piece of the corruption.
And
the investigation side is just one piece of what now Speaker Johnson will be overseeing, because we've spoken to you frequently about the funding side of things. So I want to ask you about his speakership and what's to come from him regarding, because I know you've been a big advocate of fencing off funding from the DOJ and the FBI. Obviously, that reaches a major hiccup once it gets to the Senate. But there are parliamentary maneuvers that they can take to make that happen. Do you think that we'll see that?
I think we better. I think, you know, this change in speakership didn't happen over 3 weeks. It happened over 8 years. And the reason Kevin McCarthy was ousted was for the very reasons you just talked about that he failed to do. The majority of the Republican Congress and committees and the American people who put them there have changed. Their opinions and their conservative movement has changed. And so this speaker, I think, you know, Mike Johnson will change with it. We can't have any extended CRs or omnibuses. That just can't be the day. If he wants to do something for a week or two because he just got in there, fine. But none of this 1 year long, 6 month long CR process. He's got to weave that together and stitch that together and empower the oversight committees, such as Intel, Judiciary, and OGR, to go after it and get after it and make sure when the executive branch bucks Congress off that they aren't permitted to do that anymore by fencing the money, by literally taking pockets of money from the FBI, from DOJ, from DOD, from NSA. No one's calling for a shutdown of them. But taking their funding, taking their G5 jets, taking their luxurious toys that we pay for until they give us the documents so the American people can read them themselves. I don't expect this FBI or DOJ to prosecute anybody, but the very least Congress can do is fully exercise its constitutional oversight authority.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Kash, you were kind enough to work with us and break on this very show the story that your personal email and phone records have been taken by the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington. Then you shared the story of your lawsuit fighting back, making a very compelling claim that your civil liberties have been violated. But now we find earlier this week that there were maybe a dozen or more members of Congress and their staffs who had a similar fate as you. Congress was spying on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, and other committees that were investigating their wrongdoing. The Justice Department is under investigation wrongdoing, and they're spying on their overseers. The breadth of this is jaw-dropping from what we know, and my guess is a lot larger. Your reaction to knowing a whole lot more people were being spied on just like you?
Yeah, this is way worse than what Clapper and Brennan did to congressional staffers when Dianne Feinstein was there. And wait till it's public that one of them was a Democratic staffer. Then you're finally going to get the media attention. But John, as you and I called it back when we found out that I was unlawfully surveilled, we expected there to be more people.
You called it.
Expected 6 to 10. And now we have over a dozen. So I'm glad that this is being exposed. I'm glad it's finally getting the print and media it deserves. But we broke it here in Real America's Voice. And to those out there who've been wronged, a lot of my former colleagues, some of my friends, come on into the lawsuit. We filed a federal Bivens complaint against Rod Rosenstein, Chris Wray, U.S. Attorney Liu, and members of the DOJ and FBI that permitted and authorized this unlawful surveillance, all in the name of what? Corruption cover-up scandals. We were exposing Russiagate. We were exposing their lies at the FISA court. We were exposing their lies in the FBI about the documentation they had turned over under subpoena from Congress. And this is the result, a weaponized system of vengeance for senior staffers who were doing their job. Now, they'll come out and say, oh, it's a leak investigation, like they always do. Yep. But that is total BS. And I hope that my colleagues, my former colleagues, join me in this lawsuit. And if you don't have the funds to pay for it, don't worry. We'll figure that out. We got to get this right for the American people. We're going to subpoena and depose Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that call to action. And like we've talked about, these were both Republicans and Democrat staffers and members in the upper and lower chamber. But you typically find that on the Democrat side, it's party allegiance over everything. But in this situation, very unique, you have Democrats spying on Democrats. Do you expect any of those Democrat subjects to join your lawsuit or induce their own?
If they had any constitutional backbone and care for restoring law and order, they would. And whether they file it on their own or join mine, I'm fine with either way. But you can't have it's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It's a uniparty thing. It's a deep state government gangster thing. It was Trump appointees, Rosenstein and Wray, going out into the Justice Department and FBI, going to a grand jury surreptitiously after Rod Rosenstein had threatened to investigate myself and then Chairman Intelligence Devin Nunes, and we actually found out he was lying because he already executed that threat months before. I mean, these are the people currently, at least Chris Wray, involved as the top law enforcement officer in the nation, and we're supposed to trust them when they burned the Constitution when it came to congressional oversight and personally attacked the people that were exposing their corruption. And remind your audience, Rod Rosenstein signed the fourth and most unlawful FISA against President Trump that the DOJ and FISA court rescinded. It had so many lies in it.
Yeah.
This is the culprit. This is the criminal, Rod Rosenstein.
A lot more to come on that. And I know your lawsuit's going to lead to some very important discovery of what really went on there. Cash, I want to ask just for a quick reaction. A couple of weeks ago, we saw a congressman pull a fire alarm. We knew then it wasn't right. But today, a summons issued, a misdemeanor charge issued against Congressman Jamal Bowman. A moment of accountability, even if it's small?
It's a minuscule amount of accountability. Look, it's a felony. They issued a summons. The two-tier system of justice will continue to go on, and they'll say, oh, Democrat or Republican, he thwarted an official congressional proceeding. That is a federal offense. It does not belong in the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. It belongs in the United States District Court, in the federal court, just like every January 6th defendant has been charged. There should be no difference.
Good point.
Cash, have you ever tried to open a door using a fire alarm?
I thought it's just a wand that opens doors magically and nothing happens.
There you go.
I mean, this guy's a principal. He was a school principal, and his excuse is it's corruption cover up. His lie is worse than the sin, and we're supposed to believe it. And now he'll go out there and say, oh, I pled guilty to a misdemeanor. You know, I'm taking responsibility. Tell that to someone sitting in the gulags from January 6th for doing the exact same thing.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. So grateful you can join us. A big thank you to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, to General Keith Kellogg, and to Cash Patel. A lot of wisdom, a lot of facts, a lot of information you can't get anywhere else from these great interviews. We're so thankful. And if you want to go out and buy one of those EnviroCleanse air cleaners that I'm using in my home that have changed my life. My allergies are way better than they've ever been. I feel healthy. I'm breathing better. You've got a very special opportunity. Go to ekpure.com and use the promo code JustNews30. JustNews30. And you're going to get 30% off an EnviroCleanse cleaner. That's the biggest discount I can remember they've ever given. I'm grabbing myself another one because they're so good. And I want to get my 30% off. That's a great bargain. We're so grateful for EnviroCleanse for supporting Just the News. If you want to say thank you to them and make your life healthier, you're breathing better, you're going to take care of sinuses and COVID and flu viruses in the air, go get an EnviroCleanse air purifier today. It's going to come with a free air quality monitor and free fast shipping. And you're going to get 30% off if you use the promo code JustNews30 at checkout. after you go to EKPure, EKPure.com, EKPure.com. Use the promo code JustNews30, 30% off. That is a deal. All right, folks, that wraps up today's edition of John Solomon Reports. We'll be back tomorrow with another great conversation, set of conversations. We'll break some news. We got some new Hunter Biden news coming out. Stay tuned. We'll be there in just a little bit. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.